This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mama used to say, take your time, young man. Mama used to say, don't you rush to get old.
Well, that takes you back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Happy, happy Mother's Day.
To all the moms.
Yes, all of you. All
grandmoms,
the moms.
Grandmoms, great grandmoms, auntie who has to stand in the place of mom. Stepmoms, I mean, everybody.
Wives, come on, don't look. We can't.
Very much. Oh, yeah. We're getting a little wild.
Yeah. Don't slip on that.
Yes. No. We don't want to make that mistake.
No. So, happy Mother's Day, Tracy.
Very much.
And my thoughts are with Thelma, who's looking down at me right now, shaking her finger, going, boy, you just need to cut your hair.
And or my something. My mom, the school teacher, Pearl, she would, she'd but keep me in line, too. Very much.
Anyway, Sam and Greg, coming up this 8 o'clock hour, like I said, we're going to talk more Mother's Day as we talk to Kimberly Duggar, who's the mother of Kyle Duggar, who's drafted by the New England Patriots, but obviously with local connections. We're going to talk about opening up facilities. Something I had mentioned earlier, Sam, before we get into the reopening of some things, but I talked about Mike Tyson. And the news that you hear this past week, one of the trainers who's really spent most of his time doing MMA fights, but Rafael Cordero, he went on ESPN and he told one of the reporters there on Monday that he did some sparring with 53-year-old Mike Tyson. And he said that Mike Tyson's speed right now, and he wasn't, no hyperbole here, was the same speed and power as a guy 21, 22 years old.
Yeah.
Now, we understand that it's a long step between hearing that. It's like somebody being able to go into an ex-player being able to go into batting practice and jerk a few into the stands as opposed to playing 162 games. I get that.
But isn't
it nice to know that was a possibility? that if Mike Tyson were to come back?
Nah.
That would be the biggest money grab I can think of. I think that if Mike Tyson...
He did a money grab the last 5 or 6 years he was out there.
It was a continuation of what he was. He's been removed from the sport. It would be like if one of those... Listen, people talked about that with a number of players who... A week ago, we were talking about Manny Ramirez trying to come back. And he's playing baseball in some country, overseas. But Mike Tyson, the heavyweight champion.
I mean, it looked good. It looked impressive, because he still had some speed and flex with it. And that was neat to see. He could still do that. My thing is, he got a good plan until he gets hit. What happens when he gets hit?
Well,
he's going to sleep.
And depending on who it is, you're probably right. But if it wasn't, I don't want to put him in with Deontay Wilder right now. Don't want to put him in with Fury.
No.
But the
last guy he fought wasn't impressive. Wasn't no great guy. That's what I'm saying. And maybe he was at the point then where he was so burned out.
Exactly. And didn't have no trainers. Didn't have any real trainers. All he had was yes men there toward the end. I'm just saying, were it to be something that he decided to let people know he's serious about, let's not forget, we saw a 48-year-old man win the heavyweight championship that used to be a boxer, went away for 10 years and came back. And that was George Foreman. So those punchers, those big punchers, have a chance. Who did he take it from? Was it Michael Moore?
Yeah.
that he won the championship from?
Yep, Michael Moore. But yeah. Then George came back and he still had his punching power, but you couldn't hurt George. You had to shoot him with a bazooka to hurt him. you couldn't hurt him. You know, that's the thing. Also this week heard that Atlanta's own Evander Holyfield was planning to get back into the ring for charity, to do some charity rounds, some fundraising in the ring. So we look forward to finding out more about that, you know, as well. He's not getting into doing anything serious, but he is looking to get back in to do some charitable type things and some fundraising. So as I find out more about that, I'll bring it to us and we'll mention it here on our show.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you, Sam, and I'm not playing radio here. As you said that, and I'm sitting here thinking, I'm trying to think of another scenario that would be in place, and I can't think of one. And I'm telling you right now, if those guys, if Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson, we found out they were going to train for X amount of weeks, and they were going to get into the ring and fight, not for charity, just, I mean, well, maybe some of the money going to charity. But if they were going to fight, I'm telling you, it would be the biggest event. What was the money that was out there when Mayweather went up against Conor McGregor? It would be like that, if not more.
But nobody's going to pay that kind of money for that.
Sam, no, you say that. You say that. I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
I really doubt it.
Okay, well, I disagree with you.
What I would like to see them do, what I would like to see them do is come together and train and then host a night of boxing as a fundraiser. I'd like to see them come together and do that. You know what I mean? If they want to get in the ring and do something charitable with somebody else, but I don't want to see them fight at this stage, no.
They ain't going to kill each other because it's too old. Hey, listen,
none.
Again, I'm just telling you, people would pay for that
in a
second.
They can't break an egg.
The dude just said he got punching power of a 21-year-old. Anyway, I believe if there was an announcement and a process in place and these dudes decided from the time of the announcement, 4 or 5 months down the road, they are going to fight 3 rounds. Just give me 3 rounds. That's all I want. Of those two, please.
I don't even want to see it.
It would be amazing. Rounds. Well, you don't even see it, but I'll take your seat. I'll sell it.
I'd rather watch when it comes to them dudes, I'd rather watch YouTube. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. We're available through the radio.com app for all of your devices and all your smart speakers. Greg, we've been talking about reopening things and reopening Georgia. And you know what? We talked about The Last Dance. I'm going to put this delicately, but I'm going to be firm about it, okay? I was out and about yesterday morning, and I saw a sporting goods store, and I saw a line of folk outside waiting to buy, I'm assuming, the newest edition of Air Jordan.
I got some numbers on that, but go ahead.
I'm thinking, really? And I understand why they're being released at this time, because a lot of people say, why are they putting them out now? To coincide, obviously, with The Last Dance. That was probably the plan. The Last Dance wasn't supposed to come out originally until June, after what would have been the NBA Finals. Right. We didn't plan on a pandemic that would have a lot of folks out of work and sheltering in place and not coming out. And now that that's happened, I guess that plan to bring the shoe out stayed with the program. So now that the program's aired a few weeks, the new shoe is out and people are standing outside in the line, not socially distanced,
right,
waiting for the place to open up so they can go in and get these shoes. I am not crazy about that. I'm sure Jordan himself doesn't have any control over that, but somebody up at Nike definitely has a say in that. And I know it's the right time. They feel like it's the right time to strike with the show out, but people buy them shoes anytime.
Yeah.
These are one person ain't played a game in years and people will still buy his product.
That's
to
iconic
me, they
thing.
Don't have to be selling that shoe right now. They don't have to. You know, it's not like Nike's going to close their doors and go broke. So, I mean, that's kind of an issue I got. I don't know if anybody else got an issue about it. 447-410-929. I understand why they're doing it right now. I just don't care for it right now because we got other stuff happening, and people will always buy those shoes.
You know, it's funny that you say that because it's the yin and the yang of the total package. They've moved the 10-part series forward because of the pandemic, and now a byproduct of it being Jordan and his business and the things that everybody wears from it. You don't want that being sold now in conjunction with the Last Dance because people have to stand outside and stand in line. Listen, you can't put that on Nike. You can't put the 10-part series.
Not just that. Folks got other priorities, which people should have other priorities. But
there you go.
You have people who collect sneakers. We got folks who just buy them. They don't even wear them. And one of them is our friend, is our good friend down on the 8th floor,
Greg
who comes
Street.
On at 6 o'clock. Greg Street is a sneakerhead. Yeah. He's a sneakerhead. You know, so I'm sure he got his. They probably sent him his. He don't have to go to the store to get them. But you know, that's the thing. There are people who get them and never wear them. You know, they take them to sneaker shows and then they collect them. I understand all that too. But just the way it looks with folks standing in a line waiting for people to open up a store so they can go and get, you know.
Well, your beef is with the store.
They waited.
It ain't, you got nothing to do with Nike. They're not doing their job.
My beef is with Nike.
It shouldn't be. It should be because
Nike's probably mandated that shoe has to be sold while the show is on.
That's fine, but it's not Nike's problem for the people staying. The people who run that particular store can get out there and put barriers up or move folks back and make the line go even longer, but they have no control over the physical line. They're putting the product out because they know they're going to sell it. But your problem is with the store. That's who it should be with, whether it's in a mall or somewhere else. They need to have folks out there knowing that they're going to get overrun with people who want to get this product. Okay, think about anything else. Look at the lines at Costco. Look at the lines at other stores. They got folks that work for Costco getting out there going,
"No,
y'all got
to
back up."
That's what people need. That's what stuff that people have to have.
No, but my point is the store
need and have to have.
But Sam, the store is they're doing what they have to do to keep people safe as they come in their store. What you're seeing are people who aren't doing their due diligence who work at that particular store. That's where I'm looking at this. I don't think Nike got nothing to do with it. People have to go buy toilet paper and meat and whatever else they need during this time when we're staying inside. And whatever store they go to, the workers of that particular store are coming out and making sure folks are spaced. And if they're not doing it at that store that's selling them Nikes, that's on them. It ain't on the people who make the shoes. It's on that particular store. That's the way I see it. I get what you're saying, though. Yeah, they could have held back. But from an advertising standpoint.
Why does it have to be now? Right.
Because it's hot. This is the documentary is on now. You know people's attention span.
The shoe is always hot. The shoe is always hot. No, people will know when that shoe comes out. It comes out all these other years without this documentary. And people know.
Well.
Standing in lines outside malls. Get in fights. At least there were no fights. At least during the time I saw it, they weren't fighting. They were just standing there in line. But like I said, like you said, it's correct. There was no social distancing. There was no marking on the ground or on the pavement where to stand in order. There was none of that.
That's on the store, man.
Yes, the store to me is responsible for that. They really are. They should be held accountable for that.
Yeah, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Listen, I get your overall concern about them doing that, but Nike's doing what it's supposed to do. We got people around the world that are seeing this documentary and learning things about Jordan and this team. And by the way, this is just the biggest commercial for Nike there is. I mean, they couldn't have asked for a better commercial.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing. And I got some numbers I'm going to bring up next time we talk about this because there's some things we want to get to as we end the show talking about tonight's episodes. But to your point, like everything else, that particular store, was it a freestanding store or were you in a mall where you saw this line?
It was like a strip mall shopping plaza type area.
Yeah, that's on them.
So, yeah.
That's on them. They need to get out there because who would want a shoe, you know, whenever this craziness starts to dissipate and people are comfortable going into locations and standing closer in line. Okay, they're going to do that anyway for different goods and services. And if they want to do it now for these shoes that are going to come out and they want to have a new pair of Nikes before the 10 episodes are done with, that's on them. But the store has got to do their due diligence and they got to keep people spaced out there. So we're talking about that and also talking about facilities for practice facilities. We haven't touched on that. And we'll get into that because I think we kind of agree, but we might disagree a little bit about when the players are going to be able to go in and do their own personal workouts. Mike Tomlin had a comment this past week about that. So we're going to get into that next segment. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this Mother's Day. And remember, you can check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. We told lies, but to our grace.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef 17 years.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good Sunday morning, everyone. Sam and Greg. Not nine folds up in the Kia Studios, but in the virtual Kia Studios. So glad you're with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, available through the radio.com app. All smart, all your devices and smart speakers. And happy Mother's Day once again to all the moms. And Greg, with this week, we're hearing more and more about our teams heading back into their facilities to get ready to start some form of the season. We mentioned earlier in our show the fact that the National Football League put their schedule out and released their schedule, and it kind of allows some of the other sports to kind of line up their start dates and what they're going to do. Now that the NFL has put theirs out there, and we'll see when baseball does. This week we're expecting to hear a plan for baseball, what it's going to be, how they're going to do their training camp or training camp part two, and the divisions, if they're going to go by those three divisions that do away with the American League and National League and just teams with region. We'll see if that is what takes place when their plan is unveiled. But meanwhile, this week the NBA and MLS had players return to their facilities, not in group, not in mass, but individually. Now, tomorrow, they could be as early as tomorrow. We could see the Atlanta Hawks open their facility and some of the players come in to individually work out, you know, just to get back in the facility, to be seen by the team doctors, to be in the weight room, to be around the nutritionists and to be around the health professionals that work with them. Because some of those healthcare professionals who are usually in that facility have probably had to do other things during this time as well. So they're back, and we'll see the players could be as early as tomorrow. Atlanta United, meanwhile, you know, returned to their facility individually and worked outside. Didn't go on the inside. So that's the just the first step. You might say it's baby steps, Greg. You know, a lot of people want to see the teams out there together and getting ready to go and play games, and that's down the road. But it is nice to see them take the baby steps to get back through the gate. And it was all just on the field individually for Atlanta United, but it was great to see. Darren Ells, president of Atlanta United, visited Sports Radio 92.9 The Game this week, and he had these thoughts on the team at least getting some of the players back to work out individually.
I think that was something that struck me. I was really pleased about that our players felt comfortable and felt that the league and the clubs would be trying to set out the best procedures possible for them.
So that's it. With them back, it's a start. You know, it's just a beginning. But we want to see how some other teams do it. Greg, your thoughts about this step? And are you ready to see more this week?
Yeah, I'm ready to see more when everybody's ready. I mean, let's back up a little bit. You talked about getting medical treatments and first things first. That's the first hurdle. And being able to see, like Todd Gurley's waiting. He's waiting to take his physical. Okay, he's still got a beef with the Rams trying to get his money. But before things
how about
can
that?
I mean, so...
Yeah, he keeps saying, I want my money.
He wants his money, and the Rams are saying, okay, well, first of all, pass your physical with the Falcons, and there's all these things that are in place, and it's like the domino effect is there. So being able to see the people on the medical staff for each one of these facilities get that part of it done. When I hear that, then I'll be comfortable knowing that these guys can get out. And let's speak, you know, basketball is one thing, but say for football. I'm prepared to hear that these guys are going to show up in, you know, different sections. Like, we're going to have the offensive players. And even with the offensive players, we're going to have the quarterbacks and the skill position players work together. And they're going to show up on this part of the field. And we see that to some extent now anyway when you go out to watch practice. But if you hear of this quarterback working out with these skill position players, is that going to be allowed? Are they allowed to do that? And are they going to relax sort of some of the rules that are in place? Does everything have to take place at Flowery Branch? You know what I mean?
You know, that's the thing. And as you mentioned that is something that Matt Ryan has done every year with the receivers.
Exactly.
They had their own little camp, right?
So that's what they've been doing on the side before they actually all have to report to camp, I'm cool with that. And somehow the skill position players get together. You get a guy who's going to have, you know, he's going to play a quarterback to start working on the defensive backs, throwing balls to them. However they space it out, it's going to be, again, as I started the show talking about, we're going to see how the players, the teams evolve and do what they have to do, but they're going to be doing it differently. And so I'm waiting to see what's next, and this is all a part of it. So let's get over the first hurdle, as you asked. Let's make sure that these guys can meet with the medical staffs, whatever the sport, and get that hurdle taken care of. And I think the players then, as you said, Matt Ryan, the players will figure out how to get their reps in.
That's just it. They really do. That's the thing that they can't wait to do and do that type thing on their own. But you, like you said, there's certain things and do – look like we've seen with Atlanta United. When the Falcons come back, are they just on the field? Do you go inside the meeting rooms? Do you go inside the locker room? You know, yeah. what are the places and the limitations you may have on the players? Remember, when training camp starts, everybody stays at Flowery Branch, you know, at the housing area that's up there for the team. There are a lot of things to be considered with that. Now, Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, suggests that all NFL teams – camps open simultaneously, that everybody opens at the same time.
Right.
And I think that's what you may see. I don't know how you feel about that. Right now, the NBA, you know, a couple of teams have done it. The rest are going to fall in line during the course of this week. You're not talking about the whole team. You're talking about so many more players when you're talking NFL team, Greg. A larger roster, and a roster that's larger than normal because of your draft picks and your free agents that you got to go through an elimination process to get down to your regular season roster. That's a lot of people to have to guide and set up a routine for right now.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. If you had to guess, even though they're not using it right now, right around the corner for me is one of the top facilities on the high school level in Espokichan High School, right?
Yep.
So how long do you think it would take for them to clean up that facility inside and out to the point where, and I'm just using them as one of many high school locations that, say, players, the Falcons as a team, or a team, whatever you pick the city, could go and use for their offensive skill position players, if they're not all going to congregate at Flowery Branch. Now, I agree with Tomlin. Yeah, I think everybody should come back at one time when everything has been cleaned up and the league has decided we're going to open things up, it's okay, on such and such a date. But before that, to stay in shape, and since these high schools aren't being used, let's say Matt Ryan calls up McEacher and says, we'd like to use your facilities, and they pick the amount of days a week and the times a day and so on and so forth, and they go out of practice there, and the defense goes to another high school, or they all go to the same one. But my point is, you have to be creative, and we got a lot of facilities that they could use that aren't being used right now if they're trying to keep everybody from...
Well, we're talking high school, and most of those high school facilities aren't being made available to anybody right now. I mean,
if
students aren't going to school, those places, I don't think they will make them available for NFL guys either.
No, but they're just using the field. They're not going in the classroom. They're just using the field.
That's part of the field. I don't think they allow them to do that either. I would be surprised. And that's really, I think, not coming from the GHSA. I think that's left up to the school system. So that will be Cobb County Schools. And I don't know what their policy would be as far as allowing someone else to come and work at it, since it's not available for the students. If it's not available for the kids, how are they going to go make it available for some pros? You know, that's
again, the whole school system. The whole school year is closed down. Again, thinking outside the box. They're not going in there. They're not going to walk through the. They're not going to walk through the hallways. They're not going to be within 6 feet. They are using the field. That's it. They're just going on the field, or they may go in and use the bathrooms or whatever. But I'm saying the rules that are in place
that's
now.
Part of the school. That's part of the school, though.
I get the fact that there are rules in. I get the fact that the rules are in place. But I'm saying now that things are changed, everything is different. It's worth a call, isn't it? As you're talking about, you know, we have to wait till the NFL as a governing body decides, okay, you guys can all go back to your facilities. Well, that could be months down the road. So between now and then,
that's what's going to make this season so interesting. That's the backdrop of the season, and that's why when you talk about the schedule now and you talk about the records that you think these teams are going to produce, you're playing a big guessing game because these guys haven't been on the field together yet. And I think that's why what Tomlin says, that nobody start before the other. You know, we're going to come back and we're going to have a short window of time. We don't know if they're going to play all the exhibition games. They might, you know, say, hey, you know what? We may play only two of these exhibition games. You know, you don't know how the preseason is going to go. And in recent years, in preseason, the guys you want to see haven't been playing anyway. So that's the other part of it. You know, you're going to have some suspect play starting the season. You really at all levels, professional, college, and high school, because of the lack of time the teams have spent together during the spring and really during the summer, whenever they're allowed to get together and work.
Well, again, I agree with you on that point. We're lockstep there. But I'm just saying, as far as getting together, and again, if it's just different sides of the ball or a certain group getting together, listen, the kickers can go anywhere in practice, right? So they don't need to go to Flowery Branch. But you got to tell me that you don't think that Ben Roethlisberger, pick the quarterback and his skill position players, just like you talked about Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and those guys getting together, who knows where? By the way, did he say where they're getting together? He holds a camp. Where is he holding that at?
I've heard no word about that. In the past, he didn't have it here in town. In the past, he's had it out, you know, different places, out California, different places. It hadn't been here.
Okay. But my point is, everybody understands these are unusual times. So if a professional organization makes a call to a high school for this particular reason, A, I think they're going to take the call. B, if the organization pays for the cleanup for just the area that they're going to use for the period of time when there's nobody else on the entire campus, I think that they're going to take that call and see if it's possible. Or the rich player, you know, calls up this high school or this location and says, hey, we'd like to use this right now to get some work in before we go off the Flowery Branch. I'm just saying people are going to start thinking.
And make a healthy, donation to the booster club.
There you go.
No, I don't think that'll happen. I don't think that happens. Matter of fact, anybody listening that's an athletic director at a school, 4474109.
I'm just saying it's worthy of a call. Really,
because I'd like to hear. Yeah, you give us a call and let us know if you're an official at a high school or a school system in the area, just to be clear on it. But I don't think that's gonna happen.
But you got to be optimistic.
It would be interesting if they would.
Yeah, you got to be optimistic. Yeah. Again, yeah, well, whatever happens,
they could go to some parks. There's some parks around here. They got some really nice turf fields. They can go work at it.
But then you got the public you got to deal with. But you have no control over keeping the public. Maybe keeping them at bay.
If you go to the park, the public is only going to be on the hiking trails and whatnot. I know the park I go to, the fields are basically locked.
Well,
the fields are locked.
Okay.
You know, the tennis courts are locked. You know, I got angst about that, man. As nice as this weather is, and I can't go play tennis.
Hey, speaking of which, did you hear what about your boy with Nadal said this past week? Nadal came up, he put the finger on Joker. I can't stand that dude. Now I don't like him anymore. He went out and had that little session, and he filmed it. He wasn't supposed to be out playing.
Yeah,
Djokovic. Yeah, he went out with his girlfriend, and he was like, where is he, in Spain or something, where everybody's got to stay indoors, shelter indoors? And he went out, you know, like, I'm the Joker, and he started playing tennis and all that, and then Nadal saw that tape, and he went, hey, next time I play that dude, I want to make sure he gets vaccinated. I ain't playing with him. And he did it because Djokovic is one of those people who doesn't believe in vaccinations, or he doesn't adhere to them.
Yeah, yeah. He said he wouldn't be down for the vaccine. He's quoted as saying that.
Well, he may not get himself another title if he got to play Nadal. He's going to have to take a shot first. So that was pretty good. Some tennis news from this past week. Sam, we got a special woman you reached out to. Let everybody know who we're going to talk to next.
It's Mother's Day, and we always love to hear from our area sports moms to brag on their babies. All moms like to brag on their babies. So coming up next is the mother of Kyle Duggar, who's recently drafted by the New England Patriots. His mother, Kimberly, is going to join us next for Mother's Day. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Follow us on the radio.com app for all of your smart devices and your smart speakers.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
You know I'm always waiting on that. Always waiting on that.
Yeah.
On this Mother's Day, I want to remind you guys, you can also follow us on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Listen, we've been acknowledging, you know, that it was National Nurses Week last week. On this Mother's Day, we're talking about mothers. We talked about the first responders. We've acknowledged a lot of people. But the people who do this 365 days a year and have been doing it forever are still continuing to do their job, talking about law enforcement and also talking about the people who are firemen, too, having to go out during this time. So I want to give a shout out to a guy who's a division chief with the Paulding County Fire Department. His name is Brandon Newsom. Brandon is just a you look at this dude, and if you don't know nothing about anything else about him, and you say pick the profession he should be in, you go, this dude should be a fireman. So I have met him through a couple different circumstances, and Brandon also is a fan of your table games. We'll leave it at that. But he's just he's the dude you want next door to you as a friend, but also if there's some trouble or things need to be taken care of. So he and his folks are just doing a great job. The people who work with him up there in Paulding County, all the firemen. So I want to give a shout out to him, Brandon Newsom, and everybody with all the fire departments around the city. Shout out to them.
Absolutely.
I thought you were going to add something on that. All right, let's move to this thing that we got a special interview.
No, you said
interview.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got a special interview up next, and I want you to name something, Sam. I'm going to name something right now. Strawberry rhubarb pie. Strawberry rhubarb pie. I lost my mother in 08, and from time to time I have that taste, you know, come through me, and I can just taste it. And it's that thing that we all, when we look back at our mothers, or if our mothers are still with us, there's usually one thing that they make that, man, you just can't do it out. And if you move away from home, when you come home, you make sure that she makes it for you. What was the one thing with your mother, before we talk to our guest, that you really
sour cream
crave
cake.
From? Sorry?
Sour cream cake.
Everybody's got one.
Why,
man?
Why are you laughing?
No, I'm just saying. It's fun.
Sour cream cake, dude.
We
that
always,
came out quick. That didn't take long for me at all.
When was last, you know... I'm trying to think if I ever had a sour cream
cake. Very much.
Hmm.
Yeah, man. She put that thing together, hook it up. It was great.
Well, on this Mother's Day, we are obviously acknowledging all the mothers, and we have a special guest right now, Kimberly Duger, the mother of Kyle Duger. The joy in your house is probably overrun, the fact that he got drafted by New England Patriots, but you just proud of your baby and all that. But before we get into his latest achievement, what is the one meal, what is the one dish that he wants when he comes home and asks his mother to make something special for him?
Well, first of all, Kyle Duggar eats everything. but when he comes home, the one thing that he knows for sure his mom is going to fix, and that is going to be seafood. He loves seafood. So when he comes home, we
Fantastic.
Always plan a big seafood boil.
Well, I'm sure you've had a big one to celebrate a lot of his accomplishments, but especially his most recent accomplishment, being drafted by the New England Patriots. And the path that he took is such an interesting one. But talk about what it's been like in seeing him achieve that.
For starters, over the years, it's been interesting. I tell people all the time that Kyle is a worker. His work ethics are way beyond what one would consider to be normal. So we knew that something special was going to happen with this young man since he was the age of 3. He's always been very meticulous about everything that he does, always working hard, even in the classroom. He always wanted things to be perfect to a certain extent. So it has been absolutely a joy to see all his works in some way be rewarded. We are still excited about it. We're actually still trying to process it all in our heads that, oh, my God, we have a son who would be playing in the NFL, and not just in the NFL, but with the best team in the NFL, we would consider the New England Patriots to be. So we are so excited. His entire family, he has a lot of cheerleaders, always has had a lot of cheerleaders But Kyle has been working for a long time. He didn't just start this. He's had a lot of no's in his life, a lot of people telling him what he could not do and that he could not make this journey. And he has definitely proved a lot of people wrong.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Mrs. Kimberly Duggar. She is the mother of Kyle Duggar, alumnus of Whitewater High School. Shout out to all the folks down there in Fayette County. And Lenore Ryan, which is a Division II school. And I really want you to speak on this because there's so many parents who feel like their child has to be ranked with so many stars after their name and that they have to go to a certain kind of school in order to accomplish this. I understand he only had three offers coming out of high school. He goes to a Division II school because he didn't play a lot of football. He was kind of following in your footsteps, playing more basketball than football, right?
Well, actually, no. Kyle has been playing football since he was about the age of 5, I say. He started recreation football. He was playing both sports. He started out playing recreation. So along with playing basketball, during the fall, Kyle would play football. So he played football all the way through school, recreation. He's a little star football. He just was a very small player. So that's where a lot of times people will underestimate Kyle because he had not hit his growth spurt yet. But he played both sports. But what I would tell parents, and I've said this over and over again, that if nothing else, I hope that Kyle's story is able to communicate to some young people that you can't listen to what people say, and everybody can't go to a Division I school. Even if he had the opportunity, everybody can't go to a Division I school, but that does not stop your work ethic. It does not stop you from working hard so that one day somebody will see that you are a standout. I would communicate to those parents that you have to support your child, because sometimes parents would tell their children when they're at Division I, II, and Division III schools. I've heard it over and over again. You know, just go ahead and try to get a degree. You know you're not going to make it to the next level, but, you know, just try to do the best you can. And that's the wrong thing to tell them, because you can't determine someone's destiny. We all have gifts. And I believe that people can be gifted in athletics. And I think Kyle is gifted in athletics. And actually, all our kids are gifted in athletics. But what we've taught them is that you have to work hard and you have to ignore the naysayers. You got to just go hard. When you're on that field, you have to leave everything out there on that field. When you're on the court, you got to leave everything on the court. So I would tell people, don't tell your child that they can't make it to the next level because they're in a Division II or Division III school. That's not true. If they work hard, if they shine all the time, somebody will see their ability. Somebody will say, this person, this kid, or this young man, or this young lady is different, and we need to keep our eyes on them. That's the message I would communicate.
On this Mother's Day, we're talking to Kimberly Duggar, the mother of Kyle Duggar. Joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. What was Kyle like as a kid? I mean, where'd that work ethic come from? And about what age did you see what you see now? When did you see that instilled in him as a young age?
I tell you this, Kyle, first, we realized that Kyle really wanted to play football when he was about the age of 3. He was watching TV, sitting in front of the TV in his barney chair. And we noticed that there was an NFL football game on TV, and he was just sitting there as though he was shocked. He wouldn't move. He just stayed right there. And this 3-year-old sat there and watched most of this entire football game. And what he said after he finished was, "Dad, I want a football." And so his interest in football started young. He was actually more interested in football than basketball. So although most of us played basketball, Kyle was really interested in football as well as basketball. I would say that where did he get his work ethic? From both parents. Kyle's dad is an athlete too. He did not play at the college level, but what most people don't understand is, or don't know, is that Kyle got his speed and quickness from his dad. If his dad could play basketball right now, he would probably still be playing. But we've always worked hard in sports. Off season, people sleeping, we're working. We're at the track. We're at the court. We're at the field. We're trying to find ways to get them into something and keep them in shape. So, and then always communicating to them that you have to be a student of the game. You can't just go out there and think you're going to be all of this because of your physical ability. You have to study the game, whatever sport you're in. You got to be a student of the game, and you have to really work harder than the next person in order to get where you need to be. So that's been communicated to them most of their lives.
Kimberly, you realize there's a lot of mothers out there who have trepidations about having their babies play football. What is your message to them?
I had those same beliefs in regards to the safety of the game. But now it's a lot safer than it was years ago. So I don't have those same fears that I had years ago. And I think it's okay, even with the young babies playing now. The helmets are better. The game is safer in regards to how the players can hit. So I think they will be okay with letting their child play football. If they want to play, I think they should give them a chance, and they just need to be out there with them. Don't let, you know, just take them out there and leave them, but go out there and see for themselves. And the parents, too, need to be students of the game. I became a student of the game when Kyle started playing. I didn't know anything about what a safety was or anything until Kyle started playing at the high school and college level. So they, too, need to be students of the game, and they will better understand the safetyness of it.
Spend some time on the waitforit.com outline. Yeah, absolutely. Kimberly Duggar is the mother of Kyle Duggar, drafted by the New England Patriots, and she's, and we don't bear to lead about her, outstanding basketball player at Fort Valley State University. Am I correct?
Yes.
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 He's going to play in New England. It's going to be awfully cold up there, Mama. Are you ready to go up in all that cold to see your baby play?
Hey, I've been telling everybody, you know, I've been in Georgia all my life. Now it's time for me to buy a real coat, so I'll be just fine. Yes.
Kimberly Duggar, we appreciate you spending some time. We appreciate you spending some time with us on this Mother's Day. A happy Mother's Day to you, and you're just an example of all the wonderful moms that we have in our area who do all those things that are needed to have our young people achieve the things that they do. The team mom, and also the mom who's so actively involved. Like you said, go the extra mile to learn about the sport because your child is participating in it. You're a great example of what the sports moms in our area we really do for our young people, and that's why I think our area is so well recruited and we see our young people achieve so much. So thank you so much for joining us this morning and bragging on your baby a little bit.
There you go.
And giving us some insight on this Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you so much for having me. You all have a great day. Treat your mothers nice today.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
My baby eats everything.
She's going to go get her coat, man.
Yeah, going to get her coat, but she's going to do some cooking for this dude. He only have one thing. Seafood is one thing, but he eats everything. The good news now moving forward is he can buy the groceries for everybody. So.
Yep, but when she flies up to Boston, she better bring some pots and pans with her, Jack, because she's going to have to cook for him.
Hey, listen, Sam, we used to do something on a regular basis. We stopped, and we're going to get back to it. And I want to give your thoughts. We're going to get from Jahi. As we get into the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Tony Barnhart. We're going to revisit some stuff with the schedule in the NFL and talk more Last Dance. But I want to hear what you're most grateful for. Well, like I said, we used to do that on a regular basis. We do it a few times during the show. As we enter this 9 o'clock hour, I want you to tell me one or two things that you're most grateful to have during this craziness with the pandemic. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, you can listen to us on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.